Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
This is Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning for Wednesday, January 5th, 2011, episode 48, brought to you by Back on Track. Good morning, horse world.
Gotta go feed the horses, gotta give them hay, gotta go feed the horses because it's a brand new day. Gotta go feed the horses, gotta feed them now. Gotta go feed the horses because horses need the chow. No time for coffee, can't take time for me. Gotta take care of the animals, so many mouths to feed. Gotta go feed, gotta go feed. Gotta go feed, gotta go feed, gotta go.
Happy National Whipped Cream Day, Jamie.
That is just bizarre. That's almost as weird as in October, National Talk Like a Pirate Day. Arrgh. I love it.
You know why it's National Whipped Cream Day? It's because the guy that was born back in the early 1900s that invented the Ready Whip can. Apparently, and I didn't know this, you could get whipped cream in a can like in the early 1900s. But you had to bring the can back to the plant to get it refilled.
That's funny.
It was an aerosol can, apparently. And he was the one that invented the disposable aerosol can for whipped cream, and that's why it's National Whipped Cream Day, which makes Jennifer very happy because she loves it.
Yeah.
That guy pretty much took down recycling is what he did.
That's exactly right. He filled many, many, many landfills across the country with his whipped cream can.
Thanks, guy. Good job.
Jennifer likes the kind you get in the freezer section, though. The little tubs. That's what she loves.
The cool whip.
You know, I must say, though, the kind that comes in the can is really starting to grow on me. I think I've just reached my maximum lifetime limit of Cool Whip.
My brothers used to just take the can and squirt it in their mouth. I mean,
well, yeah, they're boys.
Okay, y'all are making me hungry.
Well, we want to give also a shout out to our Australian friends who are having a heck of a time down there. We have a lot of listeners in Australia. Matter of fact, Australia and New Zealand is third in line for the areas that listen to the Horse Radio Network the most, and they're having the worst flooding they've had in a long time. And there are a lot of horse rescues going on down there right now. They have 22 towns and cities in the north of Australia that have been completely flooded out.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. It's really, really bad. And we're just, you know, giving our thoughts and prayers to everybody in Australia who's going through that right now. So to our Australian friends.
Gosh, I seriously thought, like, we here in Phoenix got a day and a half of rain, which is absolutely crazy for this time of year, plus to get that much, and my stalls are still flooded. I cannot imagine. I mean, I thought mine was bad. We are, you poor Australians, we are definitely thinking about you right now, for sure.
And I just saw an article, too, on that note, speaking about West and Norco, our town, that we affectionately refer to as our town in California. That horse is still missing, I read this morning, so they're still looking for that horse. They're hoping that somebody just found it and put it in their pasture. But Jennifer, we heard from Norco, too, didn't we hear?
I got a lovely letter from, I'm pretty sure it was Liza, saying that thanks for giving them a shout-out. They're hanging in there. They'd love to come out and see us visit, and so we can all go riding to the Dairy Queen and have ice cream on horseback.
Drive through, baby.
Yeah.
That's what she said, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Hey, Do you guys subscribe to? This is a new thing to me, and I've probably been doing it for about 10 days. To Groupon, do you know what that is?
Yes, we have. And actually, did you know that Groupon just turned down? Groupon is a one-a-day coupon that you can get mailed to your inbox, and it's usually 50% off the items. And they have them, they're local. They're very local. They have them for different cities. Closest one we have here is Louisville, but they said they're coming out with a Lexington one shortly. But, Jamie, did you know Groupon just turned down an offer of $6 billion from Google?
No way! Are you serious?
They turned them down because they're going to try and go public, and they figure if they go public, they'll be worth $40 billion. That's how big Groupon is.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm new to the Groupon world. I signed up for it, and I've been getting all these coupons every day, you know, for the Phoenix area. And Saturday is my husband's birthday. And, you know, he has the coolest job in the world. What do you get for a fighter pilot, you know, that just bought himself two puppies? You know, I didn't know what to get him. So this Groupon email came out, and I don't think I'm going to be able to do it because it's really far away from where we live. But they were giving, check this out, trapeze lessons. I was like, that would be so much fun. How fun would it be to go, it's called Trapeze University, take my husband to Trapeze University and be like, I know you fly around the jets, but see if you can hang on.
Yeah. He'd probably bring his parachute along.
I know, he probably would. I just thought that was so cool. So I am an addict to Groupon, and I do want to let you know that yesterday a Groupon came out for, I just love saying Groupon. Groupon came out for Bikram yoga, which is the yoga where you go into the studio and it's like 120 degrees and you sweat and you do yoga, and I bought it. So it was like 95% off. So $15 for an entire month of Bikram yoga, and I swear that I will go at least one time.
You're going to go and do sweaty yoga?
I'm going to do it one time. That's probably about all I'm good for, but, you know, you got to try new stuff. So since I didn't do the trapeze lessons, I figured I might as well go ahead and attempt the Bikram yoga.
Bring your flip cam. I want to see what sweaty yoga is like.
Not an option. Not on your life. Never would I ever. Okay, everybody, wave to the camera as you're upside down and you're in your, you know, basically your bra and underwear. Hey, guys, seriously, if you're listening, these chicks are very scantily clad that go to this. Now, unfortunately, the large men that also go are scantily clad, and it is not the prettiest thing. My girlfriend who goes that talked me into it said that the guys are actually wearing the Speedos.
Oh, on sweaty mats?
On sweaty mats, yeah. So I'll let you know how it goes. Sometime in the next month.
You have to bring your own sweaty mat, or do you use other people's sweaty mats?
I think I'll probably go buy my own. I don't think I want to reuse somebody's nasty, sweaty yoga mat.
All right, we want to know if you've done the sweaty yoga thing. What's it called?
Bikram yoga.
All right, if you've done the sweaty yoga thing, give us a call at 347-637-3238. We want to know, one, what the sights are like at sweaty yoga, and two, do you use your own mat or do you have to use somebody else's sweaty mat? That's what we want to know this morning. That's burning questions here in the horse world. You know, it's winter. There's not much going on. So
I want to know what to wear, though. I mean, So call us. If anybody has done the sweaty yoga, give us a call for sure. So anyway, we have a big show planned. We are going to talk about horse stuff. Sorry, I got a little bit off track. Jennifer, what are we going to talk about today?
On today's show, we'll be talking with Connie from the United States Pony Club's about ratings. She was on, actually her compadre Aaron was on last month, and we chit-chatted about what Pony Club is, and today we're going to focus a little bit on ratings, what the heck they are, and we might do a little bit of research on how our hosts rate.
Uh-oh.
And then Christy the Horse Health Report will be here, and it's all about teeth.
I didn't know there was going to be a test. I might just go do some sweaty yoga.
And did you guys, this is completely off on what's today's show, but it's on today's show now that I'm talking about it. When you go to YouTube, there's like really, really old horse racing and horse competition footage from like the 50s and the like the 40s, like Man of War, like actual film.
30s.
Yeah, it's amazing the old stuff you find on there.
I love it.
You know, I didn't know there was any Man of War footage of when he actually raced.
Well they had news clips, you know, newsreels, you know.
Because he was the 30s, wasn't he, Man of War?
He was the 30s, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
Do you
amazing.
Realize how long ago that is now? That's 80 years ago now.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Wow.
There was
really
one really good one that I can't find now.
You call me stupid, but I didn't know that they had, you know, video or whatever film
back in
the 30s.
They had news footage.
Guess so.
There's one.
Jennifer,
really...
we also have Horse Health coming up today, don't we?
Yeah. I got to Horse Health.
She said that.
I didn't catch that. Okay, I was too busy. See, now you got me looking in YouTube. Did you guys know that, and I didn't know this, of course, one of our favorite movies for everybody in the horse world was Seabiscuit. And, you know, they talked about the match race. By the way, when the hell are we going to get back to match races in this country? That we should have had a Zenyatta and a Rachel Alexander match race last year, and you would have had the whole country into racing again.
I really wanted that race, but then jockey Mike, I think it's Mike Smith, said that the reason is because these are two serious champions, and nobody needs to be a loser. I kind of still wanted to see a match race, but
yeah, because you know, but what would it do for racing is the question. Yeah, there'd be a loser, but you know what? Zenyatta lost in her last race, and that didn't make her any less of a champion in any of our eyes. So
ooh, good point.
Racing has got to reinvent itself, and Zenyatta helped to do that. But I just found on here, you know, I was talking about Seabiscuit. I didn't realize that, I don't know why, I knew the footage was out there, but they have the whole Seabiscuit versus War Admiral 1938 match race on YouTube. You guys want to hear it? I can actually play it through here.
The entire match race between Seabiscuit and War Admiral, that was the, like, epitome of the whole movie, the crowning point of Seabiscuit. Yes, I want to hear it.
And this is with the actual announcer. I have not. Let's hear it. I don't know what it's going to sound like, but let's take a listen.
Just below us, we've noted in the 10-box square that opens onto the track, the winner's circle, tall, sparkling silver trophy for the winner this afternoon.
And they're off, and this is a go. And Georgie Wolf is at the whip on Seabiscuit to keep him up. And they're coming to me head and head. War Admiral on the inside. Wolf is driving Seabiscuit, and Seabiscuit is outrunning him. Seabiscuit is coming to me. One length, two lengths in the lead. And he came right over two lengths. He goes by me. Seabiscuit by two lengths. War Admiral right on his heels. Kutzinger sitting still and biding his time. And it's Seabiscuit by a length and a half down the backstretch. They're halfway down that backstretch. And there goes War Admiral after him. Now the horse race is on. And I'm losing them there. They're head and head. But I'll catch them here in just another 50 yards. They're head and head. And now War Admiral has a head advantage. And Seabiscuit's got a head advantage. They're going into that far turn. Head and head. And it is either one. Take your choice. And right there, they're coming into view now. And the head and head Seabiscuit on the inside. By a neck with War Admiral second. That big throng dashing across the track. Across the infield there, coming for this fence. They've come into the stretch here in just a second, and they're head and head as they head for that home lane. Watch for them now as they turn into the stretch. Head and head, both horses under a drive. This is a real horse race, just what we hope we get. They're head and head, and both jockeys driving. It's the best horse from here in. They've got 200 yards to come. It's horse against horse. Both of them driving. Seabiscuit leads by a length. Now Seabiscuit by a length and a half. Wolf has put away his whip. Seabiscuit by three. Seabiscuit by three. Seabiscuit is the winner by four lengths. And you never saw such a wild crowd. Seabiscuit the winner by four lengths. Trying to drown this crowd out here. They're roaring around me. Seabiscuit was the winner from end to end by four lengths.
Yay, Seabiscuit!
Is that going to be goosebumps or what?
Oh, my gosh. I'm like, I knew who was going to win, and I'm sitting here on my chair, like, thumping, like I'm riding a horse. So it was true in the movie. Like, I mean, clearly the reason that War Admiral caught up to him on the backstretch there was because he told him to hold his Seabiscuit back and let him catch up, and then he would look him in the eye, and then he would poof, blast off, which he did by four lengths. Yay, Seabiscuit. Sorry.
What's amazing about this video, number one, is how much people really dressed up back then to go to the races. But number two was you see the sea of people after the race started. Of course, they didn't have starting gates back then. They just started. And you see these people on the inside fence and on the rail just running to the other side and then run to see them go by the other side. And, you know, I don't know if you caught the announcer, but, you know, this is before TV monitors. He said, I can't see him. He said, actually, when they were on the backstretch, he couldn't see. So he actually couldn't see who was winning for a while on the backstretch. How things have changed, huh?
Oh, I know. Absolutely. They've got like those little, almost like little radar cameras, and they pinpoint where each horse is on the track at every given second. And they, you know, they race in the form of the little dots, and that's on the screen right in front of you on the big screen. I mean, it's just crazy the technology that we have now, and to listen to something this classic is so cool.
You know, YouTube's an amazing thing, and I just posted this on our Facebook page. If you have a YouTube video, an equestrian or a horsey YouTube video of any kind that you like, or one of the old ones that nobody's looked at in a while, please post it on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Post it up there right now, and maybe we'll chat about it or take a look at it here, too, on the show. But, yeah, definitely post what you want. Of course, you can always follow us on Facebook. We have conversations that go on there during the show. I had a lot of conversations yesterday. But, wow, that brought back that was cool. I want a match race.
I thought you were about to say that brought back memories, and I'm like, you were not alive in 1936.
Now, we talk about how things have changed so much watching these videos. One of the things I picked up in one of the Man O' War videos, there's one up there by Carly Kaiser, and it's all video. It doesn't have – because a lot of them of Man O' War just snapshots, you know, but this is actual video. And it's a little piece of him being led from the barn. And there are some ladies in the background. Obviously, he's being paraded for some customers or some owners or connections of some sort. And there's Man O' War stomping at the flies in the foreground. And if you look carefully in the background, you see these two ladies dressed to the nines. And they look at each other, and then they look at their feet. Because he's like, oh, my gosh, I just stepped in horse poop. Some things never change.
Oh, awesome. You're kidding.
No, it's awesome. Because they're standing inside the paddock, so, and then they have a little clip of Man O' War galloping around and rolling in the dirt. So, things stay the same as much as they change.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. Well, we'll have to post some Man O' War footage up there too, because I mean that honestly is still one of my favorite horses in the world. Yeah. Between let's see, I've got Man O' War, Seattle Slough, and Secretariat, Seabiscuit, and of course Zenyatta. Those are my top five.
Top five.
In no particular order.
In no particular order.
Hey, guys, I want to add a country to our list, too. We had a post on our Facebook page from Nikki who says, love your show and listen to the recorded one every day. I live in South Africa, so the time zone's a little tricky to listen live. You guys make me laugh and smile every day. Keep them coming. So, yay for new country, South Africa. Yay.
That's awesome. It's just unfathomable that they can listen in other parts of the world. I mean, that's technology for you, my friend.
Yeah, boy, when you started in Atlanta radio, that wasn't happening. I mean, you got Atlanta and a little bit outside, and that was it.
I remember when we were doing radio in Atlanta, and they all of a sudden were able to stream your radio show online. So to take your live show and put it online, of course there was a delay initially, but you couldn't play the commercials, and so it would go blank during the commercials because they had figured out how to do like internet commercials totally different.
Wow.
So yeah, it was crazy. I mean, the complete difference in how things work. But you know what? What am I? I'm not 100. I don't need to. Man, times sure change.
And I want to say, Jamie, I have something else I have to bring up. I'm mad at you.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I'm really mad at you because you didn't remind me to play Mega Millions last night.
Did you see what I put down here? I found out. Go ahead. Tell everybody how much I won.
Oh, no. Did you play?
No, we don't. I don't play the lottery very much.
How are we ever going to win and, you know, and do all those dreams we talk about in the show here if we don't play? But anyway,
you know,
I usually play, but I didn't. I forgot. And then I heard last night about 7 o'clock that it was $355 million. It was like a near record for Mega Millions. And they sell it here in Kentucky, so we could have bought it. But apparently there were two winners, huh?
Yeah, two winners. $355 million was the pot. Two winners. The tickets were sold. Now, because we have listeners in both these states, I want to let you guys know that if you're in Idaho or Washington right now, you might want to go check your ticket because the jackpot splitting tickets were sold in Idaho and Washington. If you matched all five but not the whatever Mega Millions number or Powerball number, you win $250,000. That's nothing to sneeze at. And 67 people won $250,000. So just we do accept donations here. You can just make your check out to the Horse Radio Network or Horses in the Morning. Specifically, put my name in the parentheses. But congratulations to those people. Now, I want to see if they're going to be on that show, you know, lottery winners or whatever.
Oh, do you watch that?
I've seen it once or twice. And, you know, it's just a little bit sad to kind of like, how could you mess up your life with $100 million?
Well, apparently they do. And, you know, it is interesting, though, because it's interesting, though. The ones that get help right away and get some serious help and are really serious about it tend to do okay. The ones who just, you know, never had a dime in their life and never had a job in their life that win tend to have problems, and because they don't get the help. And you know, the consistent thing that happens, though, is the people coming out of the woodwork that you haven't talked to in 30 years. Apparently, that's the consistent thing that happens, all wanting money.
Being in radio, and growing up in Atlanta, I actually have a friend who is a musician and got very, very, very famous. And he told me that he all of a sudden has a sister that he's never had before. Or this lady that came to one of the concerts he was at and was like, I'm your sister. And he's like, no, you're not. Sorry. I only have a brother. And so I guess she, like, is really pursuing this whole I'm your sister thing. And I guess that happens to lottery winners, too. You know, hey, I'm your uncles, cousins, brothers, nieces, aunts, nephews, next-door neighbor who used to, you know, babysit your sister. and I need some cash. I brought some money.
You know, all jobs, you know, I look at it this way. If you're winning the lottery, it's kind of become your job because you had to quit your job. So that is your job. And all jobs have their negatives and their positives. I'd like this, you know, I would like a new job where I could figure out what the negatives and positives are with my $125 million in the bank.
You're
willing
to
give it
a try.
Yeah.
I'm willing to try that job. I could probably try that for a while, you know. As I said, all jobs have pluses and minuses, although we have a pretty cool job. But, you know, Hey, so what else is going on?
Let's see. I found this other cool story, and I want to know if any of our listeners are involved in this as well, Glenn, because I think it's the insurance company, Veterinary Pet Insurance Company, surveys the top 10 pet names every single year. And for the second year in a row, if you have one of these, you have to call 347-637-3238. For the second year in a row, Bella was the most popular name for dogs and second most popular name for cats, according to a review of 485,000 animal owners that subscribe to the Veterinary Pet Insurance Company. So Bella is the most popular dog name. Bella.
What? Does Helena have a dog named Bella, Jennifer?
Yes, Helena has a Bella.
Well, where's Bella come from? I don't even know. What's that?
See, in my world, when I went to Italy, they're like, hey, la bella. You know, they're telling you, they, and that means beautiful lady, right? Apparently not. I was thinking, wow, people are really taking, you know, cross-cultural references and incorporating them into their own. No, Bella is the heroine of the Twilight series of books and movies. I didn't know that.
I didn't either. That's why Helena's dog's name's Bella, because she loves Twilight. She lives
does
for Twilight.
Does she really?
Yeah.
Does she really?
Does. Yeah, she's okay. A Twilight fan, big time.
Now we know, but the top 10, here they are in order. At number 10 for dogs, Sophie. Number 9, Charlie. 8 is Daisy. 7 is Maggie. 6 is Buddy. 5
now,
is
I
Molly.
Thought Buddy. I thought Buddy would have been the top. That would have been my guess.
Well, see, it changes every single year, so you never know. I mean, I remember Maggie was the most popular a little bit ago. So Buddy is number 6, Molly's number 5, Lucy is number 4, number 3 is Max, number 2, Bailey, and number 1 popular name in 2010 for dogs was Bella. And I'll just run down the cats from 10 to 1. Charlie, Tiger, Shadow, Smokey, Lucy, Oliver, Chloe, Bella is number 2 for cats, and Max was the number 1 name for cats. Now, they also have exotics listed, but you name your lizard,
that's,
you know, I mean,
birds and stuff?
I guess, but I want to know what the most popular name for horses are. I mean, every barn you go to seems to have a sugar, right?
Yes.
What are some other popular horse names?
Well, every draft horse barn has a Joe and a Ted. You know, they all seem to
really
be named Joe and Ted. Yeah. We had a Joe, too. Yeah, that would be interesting. We're going to have to do our own little survey and see what the most popular horse names are.
Yeah, I got to know.
I noticed there's no Beast on the cat list. Are we the only one that calls our cat Beast?
Probably not many people name their cat Beast.
Hey, have you named a puppy yet?
Well, Chad named one of them, but I have to name the black and white one, and that is why I was searching for, you know, animal names, and then found they just came out with this story. So I think what I would like to do is avoid the most popular names, because I like to just be a little bit weird. But I did kind of like some of the names, so I need to come up with the female black and white puppy's name. So if anybody has any suggestions, I would like to know what they are, because I'm stumped. All my girl animals have boy names, and I'd like to give her a girl name. She looks like a lady, so I need girl names.
Is this a boy?
Which one?
The black and white one's the boy?
No, the black and white one's the girl. So
that's why I want to actually name
her a girl name.
All right, so I'm going to post that on Facebook so that people can put their names in there, or they can give us a call today. And we did have somebody post a video. Tina posted a video on Facebook that's absolutely fascinating. While you were talking, I was sitting here watching it. It is incredible. I'll talk about it a little bit later on in the show when we have time toward the end of the show. If you can check out Tina's link sometime, and I want you to do it too at some time during the show here, Jamie, it is unbelievably fascinating, and there's a lot of stuff to talk about here. So it's actually an old London street scene, a video of an old London street from 1903, and it's all horse and buggies. It's all horse and buggies and carriages and buses were pulled by horses, and the traffic is unbelievable. So take a look at that. We'll talk about it later in the show, but I know we do have a guest coming up here shortly. So let's take a break. Our sponsor this half hour and for this entire show is Back on Track. We appreciate them being part of the show, and Bo, all of his support of the shows on the Horse Radio Network. So let's take a listen to this these few words from Back on Track. And we'll be back with our first guest of the day. Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work, and what is the science behind them? Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave.
a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com.
Well, we're back, and we have our first guest on the line today. It is our monthly Pony Club report, and we have somebody new with us today from the Pony Club. Her name is Connie, and she was a graduate A Pony Clubber in California and Hawaii. Well, how cool was that? I mean, you couldn't pick two cooler places, Connie, to be a graduate Pony Clubber from.
Yeah, well, thank you. I did get to go to Hawaii once with a Pony Club function, so that was pretty exciting when I was 14. So that was nice that the region was associated with Northern California. So
now, years ago, you used to live in California then, right?
Yes, moved to Kentucky in 2005.
Okay, so you actually had your Pony Club years in Northern California.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, it's interesting because 25 years ago, the Pony Club was kind of struggling out west, and now you guys have really done a great job in getting the west developed and have some great Pony Clubs out there now.
Yes, it has. It has really grown. California has divided into more regions, and there's new riding centers and clubs coming up all the time, so it's very exciting.
Well, so what are we going to talk about today for the Pony Club?
Well, we would talk about ratings because ratings has changed in the last 2 years here. They've been working. What we have now are called alternative rating tracks.
Well, let's back up a little bit first.
Mm-hmm.
For all of our listeners who didn't go through Pony Club, like we should say that Jennifer was an HA Pony Clubber, and we used to help out with the Pony Club, so we know a little bit about it. Jamie, however, was not Pony Club. So for the people who didn't have any experience with Pony Club, what is a rating?
Well, a rating is a proficiency level. I guess that's a good way to put it. It's kind of like a test, but we tend not to use the word test. And we were talking about that this morning, where the term ratings came from, and none of us could come up with it's just another term for like a test, but it's maybe a nicer way to say a testing. And it's a proficiency level. We have these standards. And you shoot, these standards guide all the instruction, and they guide the ratings. And that's what you are striving for as a Pony Club member. And you know what you're supposed to learn and where you're supposed to be, and then you have someone, examiner, we can call them, or someone that will come and rate you and see if you're at those standards.
Okay, so all right, good. So what has changed? How does it work now?
Okay. Well, what has happened is there are kids that sometimes want to just do flat work. Maybe they don't have a horse that jumps, or they don't care to do any jumping, or they just aren't in an area where that's what they want to do. But they want to learn the horse management part, which is, you know, the great part about Pony Club, and maybe just do flat. So I'll use this as an example. You have to pass your D1, which is the basic, can get on your pony, and you know how to lead it and brush it and tack it up and so on, and you have the basics. So everyone gets their D1 rating. Then after that, you can specialize a little bit. So if you don't care about the jumping part and you just want to do the flat, get rated, then you will just kind of go up the flat track, or you'll want to maybe be a D2 and you'll just do the flat portion. all the riding on the flat, maybe the walk, trot, canter, and so on, circles that the examiner asks. And then you have to also pass the D2 horse management part. And so then, and you don't have to do any of the jumping. And then you can just keep going up the ladder and in doing the same thing, which is kind of neat. You can even go to a rating, and we call it a classic, at the lower levels. And let's say you have a member and they want to become a D2, you know, all the way around. They want to have the jumping and the flat and horse management. So they can go that direction, and that's fine. Or they can start out that way, and let's say at the rating, everything goes well, but they decide, no, they just don't want to do the jumping, or they have a bad day with the jumping and they don't pass that section. Well, at least they, if they pass the flat and the horse management, then we just have, at this time, we would call them a D2FL for flat and HM. And then they can go back at a later time and do the jumping phase when they're ready or the horse is ready. So at least they come away with a positive experience in that day. So that's exciting.
Well, yeah, I have a question.
Yes.
Can somebody who doesn't jump make it to A? Make it all the way up to A or no?
Well, not the classic or traditional A, no. But that was my next thing. So that's at the lower levels. Right now from D1 to C2, which is all at the club level, you can do HM track or flat track or the classic. And then from there, there's a couple options. We've developed two other tracks up at the upper levels. We have a show jumping A and a dressage A. So, correct, after you get your C2, let's say your C2 flat and the HM, you didn't do the jumping part, and you're shooting for that dressage A, you can then go through that. You'll want to then go take your dressage C3, which is about a first level, and then your dressage B, which is second level, and then dressage A is third level. And so you can now, which is pretty cool.
Wow. Yeah, how do kids keep up with all this?
It's true.
And
go ahead. No, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, and we're getting reports back that this is becoming, it's very exciting. I had two phone calls on Monday morning, the first day back in the office, after the holidays. Two girls called and said, and they were both older. One was 18 and one was older than that, and they both they heard about this dressage track, and neither of them do the jumping, or the horses don't jump, and you know, how could they, you know, they want to know, they heard about it, how could they achieve those things? So it's very exciting to hear that the word's getting out, and this is a possibility for some kids.
So Connie, does it work the other way around if you have a member who doesn't want to do flat work? Can you go the opposite direction and do a jumping track, so to speak?
Yes, but flat always falls in there. So you can't really get through the jumping without also doing the flat work.
So let me see if I can consolidate this into something that I can wrap my head around, because
okay,
I thought it was wild and crazy when they got to C3. I'm going, really? We need three different C levels?
Yes.
So when we're going to take the middle of the road, the Cs.
Okay.
Down the middle.
Okay.
When you are a D3 and you're going to go for your C1, let's assume for the sake of simplicity that D1, D2, and D3, you did the classic, the old-fashioned way.
Okay.
When you get to C1, you decide you're going to go for a track.
Mm-hmm.
Is there three tracks? Is it classic, jumping, and flat work, or is it two tracks, either classic or flat?
It's classic or flat or horse management.
Okay, so it's horse management the same way the old-fashioned HA was. So you can do classic, which is everything.
Yes.
You can do flat, which is the horse
flat
management segment plus the flat work segment.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Or you can do the horse management, which is not riding at all?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You know, I think this is great. I think it's great because I think that, you know, years ago under the old system, kids did get lost. If they didn't want to do one or the other, they tended to just stagnate. They would make it to a C or, you know, someplace in the middle there to one of their ratings, and then they basically would just stop, or they'd quit, or they'd disappear, or, you know, that kind of thing. So I would assume, and I don't know, you haven't been doing it long enough to really determine this, that your membership is going to stay longer and be more involved for a longer period of time.
Well, and I think that's what we're hoping. We're hoping, and you know, I think Pony Club has always struggled with keeping the upper members. You know, the local clubs, there's so much for kids in high school and so much pressure there and things to do that, yeah, how could we keep them? So, yeah, it's hopefully we will. And the numbers, I think, will slowly start to show that. But it's just gone into effect this year, so we'll see more as time goes on.
And, you know, how many actually make it to A? How many, what percentage actually make it to A? It's got to be small.
It is small, and I want to say, like, and I knew you were going to ask me that, and I don't have that one in front of me.
I have a guess. It would be 5%.
I was going to say only 5%. So
I think back in the 80s when I graduated, it was in that 5 to 10% range.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's still there. It's still, yeah. You know, maybe 25 go for that in a year, and then so many make it. So it's still low. And it's hard to get to that A level. And I think it doesn't matter if you're going to be a dressage A, the traditional, or show jumping A. It's still time and commitment. You have to decide that that's what you want to do.
So having gone through that a million years ago, do you think that part, because looking back on it now,
mm-hmm.
A few years later, I look at the knowledge base and look at it and go, wow, that was pretty doable. That was a very doable knowledge base. But when you're 18, 19 years old, very, very different perspective. Do you think part of the difficulty getting to that A rating is life experience, maturity level? When you take that I'm going to call it an exam because it really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
not, you don't walk into a room and sit down and take a written test. You are literally
correct.
Doing a job interview. At least when I was doing it, it took 2 days. You're talking
to
professionals who are intimidating, even though they don't try to be. you have to pass your knowledge verbally. You have to demonstrate your knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
You have to interact with other people taking the same exam. It's very, very difficult from the maturity level, don't you think? Is that one of the reasons they've tried to boost up the maximum age allowable to take those A's, do you think?
You know, I don't think that was the reason for the age. I remember hearing about part of the age, and I was a DC at the time when the age thing was going through back in California because my girls were both in the Pony Club. And when the age thing kind of came through, I was like, wow, 25. And I didn't know how I felt about that because I'm like mm-hmm. you and took, you know, our tests a long time ago
mm-hmm.
and before all these levels. And what happened was they did a little research, Peggy Endicott at the time, the executive director, went to England, and they looked at the British Pony Club, and the British Pony Club had increased their age. And it was pretty much to just boost the numbers and mm-hmm. to offer more time for kids to possibly reach that A level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think my own girls, my oldest one is now 21, and neither of them are in Pony Club anymore. They're both in college, and for them, college and doing the horses is just too much. They can't do it.
I think that has a real big effect on who stays in and who doesn't. Because if you don't get it before your first year of college is over, you're probably not going to get it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was right at that, and I ended up staying local. We had great, you know, junior colleges in California, and so for me, I chose to stay there because I knew if I went off to college, I would never I would never have, I wouldn't get it. You know,
yeah.
So hell, I'm staying there. I stayed at home 2 more years and played a little basketball and did kept my horses going so I could try to do it.
Were your parents freaking out, figuring you'd never get around to going to college?
Yeah. No, you know, I don't think they did.
Or if they did, they
kept
it themselves.
I'm sure they were happy. They were happy when I finally was gone, but I was pretty lucky to be able to stay there 2 more years. Hey, it was inexpensive. It was $50
to go to junior college at that time,
so it was pretty cheap.
Well, I was kind of hoping when you came on today that you would be able to toss a couple of rating questions to our host today. Do you have any for us? Just for hoots and giggles?
Sure.
Now, we've got to qualify this.
Okay.
Are we the host? Is that Jamie and I, you mean?
Yeah.
Or just checking.
Yeah.
The non-pony clubbers?
Jamie is
a very accomplished horsewoman who is also a veterinary tech. So obviously she has a very broad knowledge base.
Stop setting me up. Stop setting me up. Give me questions.
Glenn, on the other hand, is horse husband.
I'm just a poor horse husband. I'm just a poor horse husband who married into this, so be kind with me.
Be kind. So
I will
preempt this with, I don't have any idea what questions Connie has in store for you.
Oh, yeah.
And if she wants to embarrass me on the air, I'm fair game, too, so go to town, Connie.
Okay.
Try doing it this way. Try asking one of the three of us the question that way, or put it out to all three so we don't talk all over each other.
Let's see. Well, I may just put it out to all three of you, and we'll see who wants to grab this one. So,
I'll mute the other two and answer.
There you go. Okay. All right. We'll start out here with. I won't tell you. Well, should I tell you what level?
Yeah, tell us what rating level it is, yeah.
Okay,
start at the bottom.
Well, we're going to start at the bottom. I'm at the D1 here. Okay, so a question here. Know one reason for cooling out your horse or pony after exercise.
Because your wife tells you to.
Yeah.
There we go.
That could be, you know.
Okay,
Jamie, you
want to
take that one?
Anyone else?
Well, you don't want him to tie up.
All right, don't want him to tie up. That would be good. Anything else to add?
So that
he
can bring
their cardiovascular rate all the way back down to normal. You want to cool him off slowly? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, gosh, you're just a D1. They wouldn't use that term, cardiovascular, but that's cute.
Sorry.
Cute, just smarty pants.
That was very cute. All right, let's go to a D2 question. Let's see.
Well, what was the answer?
The answer, it's, again, we don't have anything written, so as your examiner, we would talk about that, and if they used the word cardiovascular, I would have been, oh, my gosh, that's great. That you're fantastic. You understand this. So, nope,
I'm a
nerd. But, right.
You do get brownie points for three-syllable words.
Yeah,
at the D level. Yeah.
So we would talk about it, and if they answered, like, is it Glenn?
Yeah,
I would have said, what other reasons are there? At the D1, we want you to pass, so we're pretty much going to do whatever we can do to get the correct answer to come out. that they need to be cooled off before they return to eat anything, and that they, they're not breathing hard, and you put them away, and they go drink a whole lot of water, or they go out and roll, and so
okay.
Something.
All right, give me another one. I'm ready. I think I had the best answer.
You ready?
There myself.
Okay. I maybe started out with a weird one. Let's see. Okay, can you? I don't have a picture in front. Well, here. Can you name four pony breeds or horse? Four horse or pony breeds.
Oh, we can name hundreds.
The D2
We've done
question.
Shows here.
A Knopfdrucker. Let's see.
Yep.
So we got the Knopfdrucker, the Friesian.
The Fjord.
The Fjord. What else do we do? Random Hackney Horse.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. You guys got some cool ones. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you're
We've
good
been doing
at it.
Friesian. Jennifer's been getting us some good breed shows. We've been learning about horses we didn't even know existed.
Wow, wow. And there, yes, there are some really neat ones out there. Okay. Well, gosh, you guys are doing so well. Let's just go to a D3 then. Okay. All right. How about this one? Can you tell me 5 to 7? We'll have to fudge here for you too. Basic rules of feeding. Basic rules of feeding. This is a real pony club question.
Glenn, do you want to go? Go.
Basic rules of feeding.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you do what your wife tells you. You go out and you measure the grain exactly. You don't put any extra because I always got in trouble for feeding too much. I never, ever, this is another mistake that horse husbands make. We were talking about this yesterday. We always feed too much. It just happens every single time.
Very good.
One of the rules of horse feeding, and the most important one, is do what your wife tells you to do exactly as she tells you to do it, or you get in trouble.
Okay, that's very good.
I think we've run out of time now. We'll just leave it at that. Thank you very much for being on the show with us today. I like this. Maybe next time what we'll have to do, maybe next time you guys come on, we'll get a pony clubber to come on with us.
And are you smarter than a pony clubber?
Yes, we'll make it a little quiz show to see, are you smarter? And we'll get like a D1 so that it's not an A pony clubber, but it's like a D1. So a basic beginner pony clubber, and see if we can beat the basic beginner pony clubber. What do you think? That sounds like fun.
Oh, that sounds fun. Sounds great.
Well, thank you very much, Connie. We appreciate you being on.
Thank you so much. All right, you guys have
pony,
a great day.
It's usponyclub.com.
No, it's www.ponyclub.org.
Okay, so it's ponyclub.org. And if anybody wants more information on that, they have a great new website up there at ponyclub.org. And we'll talk to you again next month, Connie.
All right, thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Glenn.
I saved your butt on that last one because you wouldn't have known what the answer either.
Glenn, what percentage of body weight do horses eat every day? Are you really seriously quizzing me on the food thing? Horses eat 3% of their ideal body weight every day. Thank you very much.
Hey, we're going to have to take a break here for our song today. And speaking of body weight, I think I picked the perfect song to follow that up with. It's called Hay and Thyme from Marianne Kennedy. And when we come back, we're going to have the Horse Health Report. And then after the Horse Health Report, we have a ton of names that have been given on our Facebook page for your cute little black puppy. So we'll have to go over them. Yeah, after the Horse Health Report, we'll have to go over that as well. So here is Hay and Thyme from Marianne Kennedy, MarianneKennedy.com.
From winter, the grass is green. Hard to imagine that we will need to feed the horses so slick and round. But they're gonna need it when snow's on the ground. Hay and thyme, hay and thyme, making hay while the sun shines, sweating bullets. I swear it's 99. Calling all your favors, cause it's hay and thyme. So call up your family, call all your friends, and we'll drink a cold one when the day ends. And when we and know we earned that ale. Hay and thyme, hay and thyme, making hay while the sun shines, sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. neighbors, 'cause it's haying time. If you are a farmer, you know it won't make you rich. It's hard work, that's no lie. But the satisfaction at the end of days like this, no amount of money can buy.
Whether you remember to or not. I'm like, I get stressed when I hear that one. I'm like, they're starving. I got to go feed. I love it. I love it. Well, this is the Horses in the Morning show, and it's brought to you today by Back on Track. Jamie Jennings here with Glenn the Geek. And we have a segment every week that, you know, I know the Pony Club thing was educational with Glenn answering all these awesome questions about, you know, what your wife tells you to do. So we're actually going to get you some real education is what we like to do when we have Christy West on. She's with thehorse.com. You can always check it out on thehorse.com. It's her weekly horse health report. So good morning, Christy. How are you?
Good morning, Jamie. I'm doing very well. And yourself?
Doing great. And with us is also Dr. Jones and Dr. DeLore. Is that correct?
That's correct. All the way from
good
Washington.
Morning.
Across the continent today.
Hey, Christy, you are real light. Can you speak up?
I can. Is that better?
There we go. That's better.
Okay. I am really close to the microphone now, so that should help. We're across the continent today. We've got Dr. Denny Jones from Florida and, as you mentioned, Dr. DeLore from Washington. And today we're talking about dentistry and teeth. And one of the first things I wanted to start with is just some basics on teeth. Dr. DeLore, you focus exclusively on dentistry in your practice. Is that right?
That's correct.
Very good. And tell us a little bit about horses' teeth and what exactly does the fact that they have hypsodont teeth mean?
Okay, well, it's pretty simple, really. If you think about a horse's teeth, tooth, any given tooth being about, 3 to 3.5 inches long when they start out in life, a little bit of that tooth gets worn away every year because their teeth are designed to grind roughage in more or less a side-to-side fashion. So as a little bit of tooth gets worn away every year, say 2 millimeters, that much more tooth then erupts out of the bone to take its place each year. So they'll go through about 2, 2.5, sometimes 3 millimeters of tooth every year, and then up to a finite point, that gets replaced. And that's what makes them more, that's more or less what qualifies that tooth as a quote-unquote hypsodont tooth. It makes it different from what you and I have.
Right. So eventually your horse is just going to run out of teeth at about what age?
Oh, if they're well cared for, horses' teeth can last until they're in their 30s, and that's kind of the beauty about modern dental care is our goal is to get horses' teeth to last into their 30s, because where 15, 20, 25 years ago horses only lived to be, you know, 18 or 20 max, now it's really common to see horses in their 30s, and it would be very helpful if we could keep their teeth functioning that long.
For sure. Well, you mentioned with proper dental care, they can last that long. How often should horse owners have their teeth examined and worked on?
In general, once a year is the rule. Now, there are cases where horses might need to have their teeth examined more frequently than that, say in a young horse with a rapidly changing mouth because they're shedding baby teeth and they're getting their permanent teeth in. A lot happens in a very short period of time, say from about 2.5 to 4 years of age in a young horse. So that might need maybe every 6 months examinations. or specific problems where you're tracking a problem that you're treating, a veterinarian might want to see a horse more frequently than once a year. But the majority of horses do really well with once-a-year exams.
All right. And, of course, we talk about floating teeth sometimes if those exams suggest it. What exactly is tooth floating? And, Glenn, maybe you can tell us a little bit about this. I'm sure you have a great, entertaining alternate answer.
I just do what my wife tells me. I just do what she tells me.
Just pay the bill, dude. Just pay the bill.
Well, it's funny you should ask about teeth floating, because floating is a term that the veterinary community is really trying hard to get away from, mostly because it's a layman's term, and it can mean something different depending on who you're talking to. So, of course, as medical professionals, we'd like to all know what we're talking about when we talk to each other and when we talk to our clients. So, technically speaking, floating refers specifically to removing those sharp enamel edges on the outsides of the upper cheek teeth in the horse and on the tongue side or the medial aspect of the lower cheek teeth in the horse. So really, that's all we're talking about when you say the term floating. So since other people have different definitions for that, it's better just not to use it.
What are other definitions?
Well, some people refer to floating and they mean the whole shebang, you know, the whole from examining the horse's mouth, removing the sharp enamel points, making occlusal surface adjustments, like if there's malocclusions like hooks and waves and things like that. And that's a different procedure because it involves removing living tissue. So
okay.
We just like to separate the two out.
Okay.
Very good. So we did a poll of our readers a little while back on thehorse.com and asked how often people were getting their horses' teeth examined, although we actually asked how often they had their horses' teeth floated. I'm sorry, we didn't know we shouldn't use that word then. but we had just over half of people, about 51%, were doing them about once a year, but a little over a quarter, 27%, were having their horses' teeth done only when needed. More than once a year at 11%, and every couple of years at 8.5%. So what are your thoughts on that frequency? Is that about what you'd expect?
Well, I'm really actually pretty happy that many do them at least once a year. So half of the horse owners that responded to the poll were working at once a year, and I think that's encouraging. I guess the discouraging part is 27% only when needed. And I guess what my question to those horse owners would be, well, what's your criteria about when it's needed? And what I'll comment on that is that horses are incredibly stoic and they're hardwired to eat. So if your answer is, well, he's eating fine, so his teeth must be fine, that's where I think owners can get tripped up into some misunderstandings about how horses' mouths work. And honestly, I mean, I've got horror stories. Horses will continue to eat until they mechanically can't anymore. So it doesn't necessarily matter how much that mouth may hurt or be inefficient or uncomfortable in some other ways. They'll keep eating until mechanically they can't.
You know, I have an interesting question, and this would be interesting. We'll never know the answer to this. But I wonder if this matches how often the owner, in fact, goes to the dentist.
Good
you
point,
know,
actually.
And I've used that conversation, that talking point with owners before, and I've gotten caught up because they said they haven't been in 5 or 6 years.
Exactly, and I wonder if they do that same thing with their horse, if it kind of matches. You know, it'd be interesting to know that.
I would like for you all to know, though, that Glenn will eat until he mechanically cannot as well, so he's kind of the
true.
Same way.
I do have this one tooth that kind of needs floated, though. It's got a sharp point on it.
Keep eating, my friend.
Well, Christy, from a private practitioner standpoint, probably those percentages meet mine in my practice. And, you know, we have reminders to go out annually or more than that if the horse has problems, as Dr. DeLore said. And our response is probably decreasing from that percentage in the last year because of the economic turnaround or downfall or however you want to call it. But we're now starting to get calls to have the teeth done, and they've been out probably 2 years just because funds weren't there. And we try to stress how important it is that they'll save money on grain and feeding if they just keep up on the teeth. And I'm sure Dr. Delorey would have a point to say about that. And it's less money if you stay on top of it every year. As she was saying, equilibrating hooks and waves takes more of our time and our tools, so thus there's a more of a charge.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I can add something to that. And it's true. You know, if horses are kept up and kept current on their dental care every year, there's usually less work to do each time, resulting in an overall lower bill for dental care that year. The big money saver, and this is what I preach to my clients, is not what you're going to save this year. It's what you're going to save over the lifetime of that horse. And the goal with modern dental care is to get the teeth to last as long as possible so that that horse can keep eating coarse roughage through its entire life. So if you've got a horse with bad malocclusions that aren't addressed early and they can't be quote-unquote fixed or normalized, then that horse is going to have to go on supplemental dietary things earlier in life, and that's what's going to hit your pocketbook. Or they're going to develop serious oral health problems like periodontal disease, like abscessed teeth, like cracked teeth. They're going to that will require expensive therapies rather than just a routine occlusal adjustment and taking off some sharp edges every year.
So if you have a horse with one of those more serious problems, the periodontal disease and the cracked teeth, how do you treat those? I mean, you can't ask your horse to rinse his mouth out with mouthwash every so often for the periodontal disease. Or just, how do you manage those in horses?
And that's a good question, because we joke a lot about it. If a horse just had opposable thumbs and could floss, all these problems would probably go away.
Good luck.
Treating periodontal disease in the horse is a challenge. It's way more common than what a lot of people think. I don't have those statistics right in front of me, but I think I remembered seeing like 1 in 8 horses has some degree of periodontal disease. And it is the most common cause of tooth loss in the horse, just like it is in people. So catching it early is the key. A lot of times it's an issue that can be corrected just by fixing the occlusal surfaces so that they function properly and removing abnormal forces on the teeth so that they remain in proper position and food doesn't get trapped where it shouldn't get trapped. But it involves, cleaning, debriding dead tissue, scraping off areas of decay. It can involve antibiotic use, sometimes systemic, sometimes local. And worst case scenario, we may have to pull a tooth to solve the periodontal tissue problem. So that's what we really don't want to do. We want to avoid that tooth removal at all costs. But sometimes teeth are just so painful and there's no cure that the only way to fix the problem is to get rid of the tooth.
And that becomes pretty involved, because sometimes you actually have to go in from the opposite side and knock it out from the back, correct?
Oh, there's lots of ways to get rid of teeth in horses, unfortunately. But probably 8 times out of 10, teeth can be effectively extracted from the mouth in the standing horse. But, yeah, then there are those cases that require a lay-down procedure. Sometimes cutting a hole in the horse's face or in their jaw to get access to the tooth roots and extracting them from the side, so to speak. And that's a lot more involved. We're working at ways that we can be more effective at that and less traumatic. It's an evolving science, just like all of medicine is.
None are easy, I would imagine.
Mm-mm. None is easy.
Well,
that's why we in general practice will refer to somebody who does dentistry full time, like Dr. Delorey, and we have one here in Florida that teaches at the university we send to do those extractions, because they are pretty hard to do.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want to wrestle with that. You can just say, hey, there's this dentist down the road. Hey, go ahead.
For sure. Well, this is definitely what we want to avoid. So back to our basic preventive care, Mary, can you tell us a little bit about what you're looking for when you do a routine exam on a horse and what kind of things you'll usually adjust to avoid getting to this point?
Well, first thing we do is a real good physical exam. The first time I see a patient, I'll do a basic physical exam and get a history from the owner. So I'll spend a few minutes talking to the owner and checking the outside of the horse and listening to the heart and those kinds of things. Talk about what the horse is on diet-wise. And then I'll pick a good sedation protocol and get that horse, we call that chemical restraint in horses. But anyway, we give them a nice dose of sedatives. I'll usually feel the whole horse's head as they're getting tired to see if there's any pain points or anything like that. I'm looking for all those kinds of things as I'm working through my exam and the sedation. And then once the horse is well sedated, I'll usually feel their jaw movement. I'll move their jaw physically through a range of motion side to side and open and close to see if I feel anything abnormal. And then I put that big speculum, that big scary thing that owners are frightened of a lot of times, but it's a really cool instrument, works very well for what it does. And that holds the horse's mouth open safely so we can get a good look inside. And then my light source is key. I'll take a quick peek to see where the food is in the horse's mouth, and then I rinse all that food out. I can't see anything without getting all the food out. And then I topographically, so to speak, examine the horse's, each tooth in the horse's mouth to see if everything's normal. I check all the surrounding tissues, all the periodontal tissues, the tongue, the roof of the mouth, the cheeks, everything, looking for abnormalities. And then if I need to, I'll talk to the owner and describe what I want to do to correct any problems and then get to work. And I think most owners have seen, you know, wave mouths where the chewing surfaces of the tooth, if you look from the front of the mouth to the back of the mouth, a lot of horses will get sort of a roller coaster appearance to that. That's what we call a wave because it kind of has a wave pattern. Or they'll get hooks on the front uppers or the lowers in the back. If the horse's teeth don't line up front to back properly, those are pretty common. And then I'm looking for all kinds of other things like surface decay, chipped teeth, fractured teeth, feed packing in between teeth that's a primary indicator of periodontal disease. There's a whole host of things that I look for in the initial exam. And some of those things I can fix immediately, and some things have to be staged or planned for another visit.
All right. Well, I know we're running low on time. I know that you've got a case you've got to get out to see, but just for fun, what's one of the craziest dental stories you've got from your practice?
I knew you were going to ask me that, and dentistry is really boring. There's nothing crazy. I guess it's not really crazy, but one of the things that always sticks in my mind is I've had some sort of scary things happen before, but I don't know about crazy, but I have had one patient in particular, probably a 10-year-old quarter horse stallion, fat. I mean, we're talking tick fat here. I mean, really heavy, obese, body condition score of 9. And the owner hadn't, I don't think, ever had his teeth looked at before. And we went ahead and looked at his teeth, and I kid you not, that horse had one of the worst mouths I've ever seen. The hooks were so big, they were digging into the opposing jawbone. They had actually caused that jawbone to remodel. And when a hook in the back sticks up into the upper palate, you know, from the lower tooth, there's a very large blood vessel up there. It's an artery. And all I can think of was, I wonder if that artery is actually moved out of the way, because that horse could have bled out. So, I mean, those are the kind of things that I find on a semi-regular basis in horses that look perfectly healthy, have slick hair coats, they're overweight, but their teeth are at the critical level. Like, this horse is going to die unless I do something.
Wow.
So,
that's amazing.
Yeah. I have a picture of that horse in my presentations to veterinarians and horse owners saying that outward appearances can be very deceptive when it comes to dental care.
Awesome.
I think that's a really fun example. We had one of our comments on our poll or some of you know, how often do you have your horse's teeth looked at? You know, one person's comment was, you know, well, whenever my fat horses get skinny, which is never. So
that doesn't work for me.
Well, that would not work. Yeah, you guys, thank you so much, Christy. You know, as always, you did an awesome job. Thank you so much for bringing us the Horse Health Report. Dr. Jones and Dr. DeLore for joining us here on Horses in the Morning. It's been great. And I guess, Dr. DeLory, where can people maybe get a hold of you? Do you have a website?
I do have a website. It's in transition, as I think most people's websites are. It's a little bit incomplete right now, but the basic information is all there. And it's my practice is called Northwest Equine Dentistry. So the website is nwequinedentistry.com.
Fantastic. And Dr. Jones, what's your website again? Down in Florida?
Florida, the whole word spelled out, floridaequine.com.
All right.
And
guys,
mine is
so
not
much.
Under construction.
Okay. Yours is all ready to go. And, of course,
yeah.
You know, everybody, for any sort of horse information, always go to thehorse.com. Christy, thanks again, and you guys have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care, bud.
Bye, guys. All right, that made
always
my teeth hurt.
Oh, yeah, gosh, doesn't it? Ugh, cutting the teeth out of your jaw, does that not just make you cringe?
I know, poor it pony. Did make me cringe. I pity those poor people on the West Coast eating breakfast when we do this show on Wednesdays. and I guess they're kind of used to it, you know. We want to remind everybody that they're listening to Horses in the Morning. We have about 15 minutes left. If you want to give us a call about anything we talked about today or dog or puppy, girl puppy name ideas for Jamie at 347-637-3238. You're listening to Horses in the Morning today, brought to you by Back on Track. Well, speaking of puppy names, oh, my God. We have some listeners out there today, Jamie. I don't know if you got to look at Facebook. If you go to our Facebook page, there must be 100 names here.
this is awesome. Yeah, we're getting a couple puppies, John, January 17th. And Chad's already named the male puppy, but the female puppy
is
my idea.
What is the name? I didn't catch the name. What's the name of the male puppy?
He named the male puppy Butters.
What?
Butters.
Oh, my God. He was wearing that sweater too long.
It's a cartoon character. It's kind of an R-rated cartoon character, but it's this little kid, and he's very goofy, and he's very funny. And
He's on South Park.
Yeah, he's named after the South Park cartoon character Butters. He's wanted to name an animal Butters for so long. So the other puppy is...
Kind of fits with the color, Butters. And Butters is one of the funniest characters on South Park, actually.
Oh, absolutely. He's our favorite. So he wanted to name him Butters. And you're right, he is the same color. But I'm telling you, I am so excited. Again, because, like, my border collie that's a female, her name is Brett. And all our chickens are boy names, and they're all hens. And I am so bad at coming up with girl names. And I want this little puppy. It's such a little girl dog. She looks like such a lady. So I wanted a female name. And I am just overwhelmed with the awesome names that have come up on here. I'm so excited. I want to tell Susan Nelson that, trust me, Zenyatta is one of the top names I can come up with. But Chad was like, isn't that kind of hard to say? And he was like, I guess we could call her Z. So that is definitely in the running. But there are some awesome names. I can't name Panda because that's one of our chickens' names. What are some of the ones you like on here?
I sort of liked a variation of Zenyatta, like Zenny or Zen or, you know, something that was a variation of it. I kind of like that. There were a couple others on here. I saw Phyllis from Texas. She came up with just JJ, sort of taking off your name.
Uh-huh.
I don't get Susan. She says, Fly, the name of the border collie and Babe. See, I don't remember Babe. And it goes with Jamie's husband's profession. Okay, I kind of get that now.
And I didn't want to tell you this either, but that's also one of the top names. And I never would have thought of that opposed to her, except, you know, because we have Flyover Farms. I mean, it's Fly of Flyover Farms. That'd be like the coolest name ever. I love it, love it, love it. The other ones I really like on here, your brother, Glenn, put one called Tally, T-A-L-L-Y. And that is it, because I've become such a nerd as far as air flying things go. That's when they see something out, some other plane in the sky, they go Tally, you know, and if there's like other jets, they see Tally too. So I didn't know if your brother knew that, but that's actually a great name too. I mean, of course, Karen posted Precious or Princess, and I really think that's going to be her personality. She's going to be a little Precious Princess, but Well, there's some great names on here. Keep them coming, people. I'm loving it.
I'm not sure Joanne put one up. This is a little. I'm not sure you name a horse person's dog this, and that's Boo Boo, because you know we get a lot of boo boos in the horse world. I'm not sure we want to be reminded of it every day.
Oh yeah.
Depending on how she is to house train, it might be Boo Boo.
I love the name Daisy. That's so cute too. And Boots, and I think the Reba one is funny. I love country music, but Reba is like my least favorite country artist. It's funny. I went to school with a girl named Kiki. Do you do that too? Like, you can't name something after somebody that you might have known before.
Yes, yes. You know, people ask how we got the name Bam Bam. You know, obviously Bam Bam sort of came from the Flintstones cartoon, but that's not how she got her name. She had this long tail, and some greyhounds have very long tails, and she would whack it on everything when we first got her. It would just beat on the walls and on the chairs, and that's how Bam Bam came about. It was because of her tail. I have a personal one that, you know, I kind of look forward to what things you have to look forward to after you get these puppies. So CC is a name that I kind of like, just the letter CC, and that stands for chasing chickens. So I think that would probably work.
She will not be chasing chickens. Hello, these are very trainable herding dogs, and I will give them another job. No chasing my hens.
Well, keep the names coming. We want to see it. Can I talk for a minute? Did you get a chance to look at this video out of London from 1903?
Oh, my gosh.
If you haven't seen it, go to our Facebook page and look under Tina's post. She says, check out this video on YouTube. And what it is, it's a video of a street scene in the middle of London from 1903. And first of all, I didn't know they had video in 1903, so that's one thing. But just everything is pulled by horses here. So there's all forms of carriages, but there's frickin' buses with about 50 people in them being pulled by two horses. Double-deckers. It's incredible.
That's crazy. Oh, my gosh. You know, see, the problem with a video like this, and I'm a horse person, and there's so many more out there that are going to completely agree with me, and Jen, you're probably thinking the same thing, is when I watch a video like this, I realize how many lame horses there are going down the road. I'm like, oh, he's lame in the right front. Oh, he's got a little lameness in the left front. Do you see that stuff, too?
Yeah, I did. It was funny.
Got about 2 minutes in. The one other thing I noticed was there's no traffic rules.
No.
There are horses and carriages everywhere. The streets are packed with pedestrians and carriages. There's no stop signs or lights. People are just going in every which direction. It's just amazing.
People on left side of the road, people on the right side of the road, they don't care. They're all over the place. People cutting in front of these, like, huge buildings, just making a left, stopping in the middle of the road. It is just chaos. But you're right. Two horses pulling, like, a double-decker carriage full of people.
Did you catch
did you notice what you don't see?
Cars.
No. No, what you don't see is any poop. There's no poop anywhere. How do they do this without poop?
I don't know. Maybe they have the little bags on them, but like all the carriage horses do downtown.
Because you would think the streets with this many horses would just be littered just from one end to the other. I just don't see any. So if anybody can answer that question, we'd like to know. It's an amazing video. I had never seen this before. Just amazing.
It is so cool. And just to see the outfits that people wore, I mean, there's like people in petticoats and top hats and those little derby hats. And this is just really cool. This is stuff that Hollywood movies, you know, try to double. And this is just a really cool video. So thank you so much. Who posted it again? Because I'm going to watch this 100 times.
I know. It's Tina posted it. Thank you, Tina. We appreciate it. And the other comment I have, too, is the dust. When you see some of these, you know, where the carriage is going by, the dust that's kicked up, wow, you must have just felt like you needed to shower all the time back then.
And they didn't.
Exactly.
You had to pay 5 cents to get a bath at the local place, you know, and an extra penny for a towel.
Hey, we have a caller on the line I think we should speak to. And we'd like to welcome June. And I think June is Jamie's mama. Hi, June.
Ah! Hi there. How you doing?
I'm so
Hi,
glad
mommy.
You called.
Hi. Well, I'm going back to the names of all these animals. First, I grew up, my two long-term names of animals was Boots and Daisy. And you have a cousin, Callie.
Okay.
So I'm not really sure you want to use Callie.
I don't think I said Callie, but I think it's a cute name. But yeah, it definitely.
What was it? C-A-L-L-Y? Isn't that what you said?
No, Tally, T-A-L-L-Y.
Oh,
T as in Tom.
Oh, well, that's much better. I don't think Sharon would like a Callie.
I named my dog after your daughter.
So this is a rare thing, is that we get to talk to Jamie's mama, because I've never done that before. So now we're just going to put Jamie on mute so she can't chipe in. And so now, was she the good child growing up, or was she the problem child growing up?
She was my little girl.
Okay, you didn't answer the question. June, you avoided that one.
That was a good one, though, wasn't it? No, she's my little girl. Jamie was always great. We were real close. We did all the horse things together. I drove. She did.
Did you ever ride June?
Oh, yeah, I did. Actually, I rode Hunter Jumper back when I lived in Jacksonville, when I was in my early 20s. And when I realized that, you know, I could afford a horse. I just couldn't afford the upkeep. So I just sort of had to give it up. But I never said a word to Jamie about my riding, and she was just born with it.
Wow.
You know, I never said, you know, oh, I used to ride. I never told her.
Wow.
And she just, you know, every Christmas she'd run and see if there was a horse out in the backyard.
And was there one?
Go ahead, Jamie.
Mom, tell them how we bought some. My parents bought some property that was an investment property, and it had a barn in the back. So tell them what my first horse was. The first horse ever.
We tell her about the little bitty, teeny tiny, old 32-year-old horse.
My first horse was 32 when we got her.
Wasn't going to run away with you, was it?
No. I cannot. Like, I think about that. I'm like, I remember, like, she was this old 32-year-old bag of bones. And that poor pony, oh, my gosh. I was like, I'm going to ride it. Saddle it up. Let's go.
Right. Well, she, the people that gave her to us, we had acreage. And they gave it. And that was sort of our trial horse. I mean, I only warmed it once a year, just like you do a dog. You know? I mean, we learned on that horse.
Yeah, I guess you have to do that. But, yeah, that was my first horse was 32. so,
and then
anyway,
the second horse was white. Had to be white.
You know, how cool is it now, though, that you get to listen to your daughter on the radio again? And I'm sure you had listened to her a little bit when she was in Atlanta, where she was talking about her dating life. And it's so much better now that she gets to talk about her instead of dating.
So much better now. I go,
all right, I guess we'll stop talking about Jamie like she's not here. So,
I am here. I love you, Jamie, and good luck on the girl's name. But Daisy and Boots were my two animals when I was growing up.
All right, that was hint there. That's a strong hint there, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Thank you for calling in. We appreciate it. And you can call back anytime. I don't care
all
what
right.
Jamie says.
Love you all.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
See, she's
now we've had Mama and Papa
talk.
Calling in. She couldn't resist this morning. She's probably been wanting to call in for 2 months now.
Oh, my gosh. She listens every single morning, religiously. So she on Monday, she didn't know I was going to have the day off and called me and was like, where have you been? Why weren't you on the show? I didn't know you were taking a day off. Like, stop yelling at me.
So it doesn't matter how old you are, you still get in trouble.
That's true. Well, be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. The Western show should be out today, so you can listen to the new episode of that over there with Alan and Tammy. Also, you can follow us on Facebook. Just search, as we said, all through the show, just search for Horses in the Morning. Become a fan on there. It's kind of neat, the conversations and the help we're getting on online now. Thank you, everybody, who's listening in and contributing on the website now. It's so cool that we're able to do that live with listeners now, that they, you know, when we talk about something, they can just go look at it. That's so cool. We are on Twitter at Horse Radio. Of course, you can follow us on your phones. Just type in on your browser, just put in horsesinthemorning.mobi, M-O-B-I, and you can listen live right on your browser or to the recorded episodes there right on your phone.
Yeah, and everybody, you have a little bit of homework. What we want is we need puppy names, female puppy names for the little girl puppy that I'm going to get. And then also we want to see your YouTube videos. We posted the match race between Seabiscuit and War Admiral, which will give you goosebumps. I don't care if you like horse racing or not. It will completely affect you. So continue posting your horse videos that you find on YouTube. Just anything that's really cool and unique, post up there. If you missed a live show, you can listen to recorded versions on our website, affiliate websites, iTunes. You don't have to miss an episode. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 9 Eastern with some crazy horses, crazy horse people, and, you know, we do those crazy horse headlines. So say goodbye, Glenn.
Bye, everybody. Ride safe. Have a terrific ride today with your helmet on.